Hey everyone, Tawny here. I am so excited to share that my husband and I launched a non-alcoholic beverage called Parentheses. It's technically two drinks, a before and an after. The before uses herbs that stimulate the senses, and the after uses herbs that calm the senses. Head to drinkparentheses.com and follow us at drinkparentheses.
Hey everybody, welcome to Recovery Rocks. It is Lisa and I am here with my hopefully well-rested and back from book tour and chill Pottis Goddess, BFF.
Hello, I am Tawny and God, I hope I've never been described as chill before. That just made my day.
That's like goals. That's yeah, goals that's right there.
I am the opposite of chill, so that is aspirational to be described. Yeah. You've like that. Yeah, life goal just accomplished there. Thank you, Lisa.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we have a great guest today. We're really excited about. We have Alex Kaczynski with us, who is. I know Alex. Through his mother, who's one of my best friends in college and just an amazing person, and also went to college with his father, also an incredible guy. And Alex is, Alex, you're 27, I think, correct? And now he recently moved to San Diego, where I am. So Alex and I have connected. And one of the things that, you know, we talk about a lot on this podcast is finding connection in recovery and finding, you know, getting established and, you know, kind of getting in your groove. And it's very hard, I think, for younger people, for people in their 20s, because so much of the social life still, you know, can revolve around the bar scene and how do you meet people and how just to make friends. And also, I just thought it was very kind of badass that Alex was like, I want to live in, and Alex is free from alcohol for over 5 years now. And just to be badass and say, I'm going to pick myself up and I want to live in San Diego. So I'm going to go do that. And so we're just going to chat about some of that stuff and what it's like being younger and kind of following your dream and doing it sober. So welcome, Alex.
Awesome. Yeah. Lisa, Tawny, like, thank you both so much for having me. I'm pretty new to podcasting, so hopefully I can do a great job. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to, like, getting to know you two a little bit and sharing my story.
Yeah.
I'm just really happy to be here. And Lisa, like you said, like kind of picking myself up and putting myself down here in San Diego, like that has always been the dream that, you know, like I think since high school, I was like, I just really want to live in San Diego. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, after living in Spain last year for a year, I got home and I was like, why wait? Let's go for it. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And how has it been? Like, what was it like coming here? And I know you switched up what you're doing. You can tell us about what you're doing.
Yeah. So it has been great, for sure. I mean, anytime you move to a new place, it's going to have its own set of unique challenges. That being said, like the second that I kind of landed here in San Diego, I just like saw the sunset on the ocean and I was like, all right, like, I know I'm in the right place. You know what I mean?
It felt like home. Like,
exactly.
Like, here I am.
Yeah. I was like, yep. Like, this is it. Like, this is where, you know, God wants me to be. And I'm like, I'm not freaking leaving. Like, I'm staying here. Like, anytime anyone wants me to leave this zip code, I'm like, you better have a really good reason because I'm just like, nope. I'm so like, I know I'm in the right place, you know? And I think for me, that's a sigh of relief. And then on, yeah. And the kind of, what am I doing? Kind of side, you know, going back a little bit, last year I was living in Spain. I was teaching English, learning Spanish and traveling. And that was like a very, you know, eye-opening experience for me. It taught me a lot. I think I gained a lot of wisdom. And, you know, I got back to the States and was, you know, it's like, all right, like time to make some money. Time to go be a man, like go pay some bills, make some money, like do your thing. And in the past, I had worked, sales jobs for, the Oakland Athletics, doing technology sales for Salesforce. Good money there and nothing wrong with that at all. But I'd also done personal training, more as like additional income or in between jobs. And, after thinking about it for a bit, I was like, why don't I take more of what's my passion and really try to go full time with that and follow the passion and the money will come. So I've just been putting pretty much all my time, effort, and energy Monday through Saturday into that. And overall, it's going good. So yeah.
Wait, with training?
Mm-hmm.
Doing personal training?
Yeah, I'm full time with personal training right now. And it's been great. Like that for sure has its own unique set of challenges, like any job. But it's fun because like it's what I love to do the most, like helping people get healthy physically, I think is super important and fulfilling to me. And it's like, I wake up and I feel excited to do my job, which is fun.
That is a gift. That is mm-hmm. like, that is such a great thing to be able to do that.
Are you fluent in Spanish now?
Sí.
Ooh, estoy aprendiendo.
Pues estás hablando bien. Siga aprendiendo.
Gracias.
Yeah, you're doing
Gracias.
Good.
Gracias.
Yeah. Podemos charlar cuando quieres. We can chat anytime you'd like.
Yeah, Alex likes to practice his Spanish. So.
Yeah.
Well, learning Spanish has been a big part of my recovery journey. I'm Mexican and I'm from Texas, so I was around Spanish a lot. But there's this part of me that just, it still bothers me that I'm not fluent, and so it's something that like, I take classes every once in a while. I like to read in Spanish, stuff like that. Music has actually been, that where I learned a lot of my Spanish from listening to Pitbull and Daddy Yankee. So it might be some X-rated Spanish, but I did write a book called Dry Humping, so let's be real.
Yeah.
Trying to get me a copy of that too. Lisa's told me about it. It sounds great. And then, on the Spanish front, it's just like, keep going. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing. It takes, like, people ask me, how long did it take you to become fluent in Spanish? And I'm like, I started in sixth grade and I.
Yeah, exactly.
26, 27. So whatever. 14, 15 years, if you do the math.
I mean, I'm still learning English words. So, there's so it's interesting. And I'm an etymology nerd. So Spanish clicks with me because it's Latin derived and seeing how there's a lot of, cognates. So it's, I enjoy it. Like some people don't like learning languages and I genuinely enjoy it.
Absolutely. And like, I'm exactly the same. Like I find it very mentally stimulating. You know what I mean? It's always interesting too, to see like how, one other language might say something that means the same thing, but mm-hmm. as a different translation. You just take like, you're welcome, right? Thank you. You're welcome. Like simply in Spanish, it's like de nada. Like that doesn't mean you are welcome. It means like of nothing. Like
it's nothing.
Don't worry about it. Like, and that's just kind of their culture. It's like, no pasa nada. That's a big one in Espanol, like.
Well, and even like to like something, it's like, it's pleasing. It is pleasing to me. Like these subtle linguistic shifts are really interesting to me. Of like, we say I like something, but to say like, oh, that is pleasing to me. That's like,
I like that better.
I like, it's nicer. I think it's a nice thing to say.
Yeah. And there's times I just like prefer speaking Spanish. You know what I mean? And there's some things where it's like, things are just said better in Spanish. It's hard to pinpoint exactly a lot of things, but it's, because I was living in Spain last year, it wasn't like achieving fluency was easy, even living in Spain. You know what I mean? Because people look at me and they're like, oh, look, like a white person, like let's practice, let's practice my English. And I'm like, por favor, español. I'm like, please, like speak some Spanish with me. You know what I mean? And but the last like 3 to 6 months, I just made a hard commitment. I'm like, every day I'm going to wake up and it's only going to be Spanish coming out of my mouth and into my brain. So it was like only Spanish news, only Spanish texting, only Spanish conversations in person. And then when I got back to the US, I was like literally like thinking and dreaming, and like Spanish was like my default language. So then I almost had to like relearn English again. And like my English grammar was all messed up, and I'm like, okay, yeah. Like, it took a bit to come back to English, you know? So now I just want to be able to practice a little bit every day just so I can keep it. Cause I'll probably forget it if I don't, you know?
Well, Lisa, you know, French, right?
Poorly. Like people, when I know enough to get by, but you know, my accent is terrible, and I frequently find when I'm in France that people do switch to English as soon as I start speaking French. I literally had someone once when I asked, like, where I was asking for like a just like a grocery or something like that, and the person looked at me and was like, Anglaise, like, please don't butcher my native tongue the way you are doing right now.
That's the French for you, honestly. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, because when I'm in Mexico and I'm speaking, like, when I'm speaking Spanish and I'm struggling with words, it's like there's this appreciation of like, thank you for trying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, not, I haven't found that with the French, but my accent is literally that bad. So
I've found that like the Latinos are like much more happy to like kind of practice with you, and like they'll recognize that you're not speaking perfectly, but they're happy to like teach you a little bit, and they appreciate you like speaking their mother tongue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Making the effort. Yeah.
That's like really like the essence of like kind of what we're talking about here is like connecting with people and how hard,
right.
You know, how hard that can be, especially if there's a language barrier, but really if someone's trying like that, if you're putting yourself out there,
right.
You know, like that's more powerful than saying the right phrase or using the right accent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so now you've been here since October. Like, what was it like? How have you built like a social life? Like, and that's not just, relocating to a new city and starting, you know, get connected. Where you don't really have those connections, and then also trying to do it sober without being able to sort of just, you know, roll out and meet people over drinks kind of thing. How has that been?
It's been good. Like, I think, you know, I'm just taking it poco a poco, little by little, you know, it's one step at a time. You know, the good thing is like with my past and my childhood, like I've moved so many times in my life. I mean, I'm 27. I lost count, but I think like 14 or 15 different houses. I've lived in 3 different states, like 2 continents. So I'm really good at like restarting, you know?
Oh, that's good. You're resilient. You're able to do that.
I almost like it at this point. Cause I'm like, oh, like Spain Alex, he was doing X, Y, and Z wrong. So we're just going to leave that in the past. And then San Diego Alex is going to do it better, you know?
Because it's very brave.
Yeah, like I think, you know, like we're only on this planet once. You might as well like kind of go for it. You know, never been scared of a full send, for lack of a better term. And it's been cool because I think the people here are very friendly, very chill. It always takes time to build a group of friends whenever you get somewhere new. And yeah, obviously, doing it sober as well is very difficult. For sure. It's not easy. That being said, like my first sponsor, I'll leave him anonymous, but great guy. You know, he always told me use the program, you know, so yeah. I was like, all right, I'm gonna, you know, I haven't been so great about AA meetings. So I'm like, I'm going to go to AA meetings to, you know, make some friends. And it's been good because that's kept me sober too. So, you know, I definitely have a good group of friends building up. I love my church group that I see every Sunday morning. That's huge. And in my recovery and my sobriety is my connection with, you know, my God, Jesus. So, yeah, just take it one day at a time. And like, definitely not easy, but like, there's a lot harder things out there. So
it's just showing, a lot of it is showing up.
That I love that, like, you are so resilient, and you, like, I like how you said, you're good. You're used to, like, starting over. So, like, I'm wondering if you have any, like, if, you know, a lot of people who listen to our podcast are early in recovery, maybe sober curious. What advice would you share with someone who is struggling with, like, maybe isn't as outgoing or isn't as social, but wants to make new friends in sobriety?
Yeah, I would say be as proactive as you possibly can be. You know, like, for me, like, AA has been a great way to make friends. And also, you know, everyone's going to do recovery different, right? Everyone's going to do sobriety different. I would say find things you like to do that don't involve drinking and try to do them as much as you possibly can. You know what I mean? What I love about San Diego is it's a very, like, fit, healthy, active community. So there are plenty of things to do here and all around the world that don't involve alcohol. You know what I mean? So just being as proactive as you possibly can be and not being afraid to throw yourself out there and, you know, hey, you want to grab a coffee, you want to go, you know, bowling, you want to go to the beach, like, you want to do X, Y, and Z, like, you know, whatever way is best for you, just figuring out one, two activities you like to do and go from there. Like me, every Wednesday, more or less, like, I go to chess club at 5:30.
I know that.
And actually, Lisa, in Del Mar, it's at, like, Sammy's. So I go to chess. I know it's usually me and, you know, mostly kind of older crowd, a couple younger folks, but it's fun. Like, you know, you do not want to be intoxicated when playing a game of chess. Like, It is not going to help. Like, I've heard of very few good drunk chess players. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, find things you like to do. There's plenty of things you can do with a bottle in your hand.
So, like, what I'm hearing, it's what's so, like, the thesis of everything you're saying is, like, you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know, and that is so hard to do. It's just difficult to make friends in general, but especially when you add that, you know, I don't drink, or I'm drinking less. When you add that, it can feel like I'm the only one. No one's going to want to hang out with me. And especially through the context of dating and relationships, you know, have you had any experiences with, like, I don't want you to get too personal or feel like you have to get too personal, but, like, are there any experiences with sober dating or relationships that, maybe you could share?
Yeah. So, you know, I've had three girlfriends in my life, one high school, one in college, and one after college. And I'll leave the names out, but, you know, high school, I was still drinking. So that had nothing to do with being sober. That's, you know, going hard. College was, going extra hard. And that's what led me to quit. And, you know, she was also drinking as well, but, you know, I was the one going harder. After that, I had one girlfriend. We dated for almost 2 years, and she was not sober, but she drank alcohol, but very minimally. You know what I mean? And with me, I've always been like, okay, like, I would certainly love like a sober woman, like, nothing, you know, like, same as me, same as what I'm doing. But I've never really had, like, a straight up sober girlfriend. But I do think that having a partner that supports your sobriety goals is huge. Like, with my most recent ex-girlfriend, this is a while ago, she did 100% like support my sobriety, which was good, and drank around me, like, very minimally. You know what I mean? That being said, like, I was still, at the time, I was 3-4 years off the bottle, right? And there were a couple times when she, you know, very few, but a couple times where she got a little buzz and, you know, kind of made me feel a bit left out. You know what I mean? So I think that especially if you're early into sobriety, you for sure should stick to, you know, if you're looking to date, try to find someone who is sober or at the very least supports those goals. Because I 100% think that pressure from a partner 100% can lead you back into drinking or using. So that's my wisdom with it. Like the one thing I'll add is, you know, I am over 5.5 years without a drink, which like I'm very proud and happy to say, because at age 27, like it wasn't easy. You know what I mean? Like I was like, people were like, you're 27, you haven't drank in like 5 years. Like, how you doing? I'm like, well, one day at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easier over time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The last thing I'll add on this is it's nice because moving to a new place, like now I just introduce myself as the sober guy. You know what I mean? So it's like anytime people don't, who have seen me in person in San Diego, they don't associate, they don't be like, oh, you used to drink or why aren't
yes.
you?
Yes.
It's like, oh, I've never seen Alex drinks, or Alex never drinks. So he's just the guy that doesn't drink. You know what I mean? So that's another thing I like about the fresh
start. That's similar to my experience. I moved to New York in the summer of 2015, but I got sober 4 months after. So most of all of my friendships here are, they only know sober me, you know, none of my New York friends have seen me wasted. So it's wild, you know,
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Because like when I go back home to Texas, like, and I catch up with my friends, it's like, they know old Tawny,
yeah.
you know, so they know party girl
yeah.
who was dancing on bars, making terrible mistakes, living a reckless life. She had fun. Don't get me wrong. She had a lot of fun. But you know, they say to not pull a geographic of like moving and hoping that your life can start over somewhere else, because you're going to take your problems with you. But personally, I will say, I don't think I would have actually gotten sober if I stayed in my bartending party girl circle. I think I had to start over somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And I 100% hear you and feel you loud and clear there. I think that just because you change your ping, your location, your problems, they come with you. There's this thing called the internet. People know how to get a hold of you. You know what I mean?
I've heard of the internet.
I believe so. But I do agree too that when, you know, like you mentioned, like I wouldn't be able to have really achieved good sobriety without this location change. I relate to that as well, because when I moved back from Spain, it was like, I love my friends that live in the Bay Area and San Francisco. That's where my parents are based. I was back there for a couple weeks, you know what I mean? And I realized, I was like, you know what? Like all of my friends like still use and take drugs, and that's alcohol and kind of X, Y, Z, all the above. And I'm like, hey, like no judging here, but like, I just can't be friends with people who do pretty much any drugs or a lot of drugs. So now I have this fresh start. I'm here in San Diego and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to primarily associate with people who do zero to minimal drugs, because it's just like, you know, you want to say no as little as you can. And by that, I mean, like, you don't want to keep putting yourself in opportunities where you have to say no all the time. Say no when it's time to say no. But it's like, if your best friends are all boozing and doing, you know, like XYZ drugs all the time, it's like, you know, after, you can say no 100 times in a row, and then it just takes one yes, one drink to just boom, spiral off.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, yeah. We, when I went to, when I was in outpatient rehab at night after I got a detox, one of the first things that, that the counselor said that resonated with me was like, you know, if you hang around the barbershop, you're going to get a haircut. And that's, you know, you got to change that up. Yeah. And also I understand I was away. My husband and I were in Santa Fe when your folks were in this past weekend, but I know your mom was out there playing matchmaker too.
Oh yeah. That was funny for sure. She was, selling me off to the highest bidder. you wrote the book Dry Humping. I'm going to write a book called Dating with Your Mother, because I went out, you know, to dinner and to karaoke and to bars with my parents, like DDing them essentially a couple times. And my mom was literally like just being like, hey, this is my son. Like, he's single, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's that was a funny weekend because little story is we're at dinner at an Italian restaurant in Little Italy. I get up to go to the bathroom and I come back and my mom's like, hey, like there's six girls at the table over there. And when you left, they all walked right back and said that they all thought you were like really handsome. And so I told them that you don't have any friends. And I'm like, great mom. Like, every girl just wants to hear that the guy doesn't have any friends. But you're really cool.
He only hangs out with his mom.
Pretty much. She's like, I told him you don't have any friends, but you're super cool and you're Scorpio. And that you're
a Scorpio. She gets the sign in.
She's like, and he used to make a lot of money and he's not making as much money anymore, but he's really handsome and sober and just like.
He is really handsome. I'm going to say that.
He is. He's very handsome. I'm sad that listeners are not
handsome,
seeing you.
He's single, 27 and sober in San Diego.
Would you, Alex, would you go on a dating reality show?
I've been told by a lot of people, like, you got to get on The Bachelor or Bachelorette or something like that. You know, like, I'm open to new stuff. I'd give it a shot for sure. Like, why
the
not?
The Sober Bachelor.
That'd be cool. We need to get that going. Yeah. I feel like if I went on, like, The Bachelor or something, it's like every date is like, we're drinking over here and we're drinking over here.
Yeah.
Can you pour me some apple juice?
Yeah.
But
yeah, there should be a sober dating show.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sign me up for sure.
Yeah, let's add that to our to-do list.
Our to-do list, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have enough projects going on. Let's pitch a reality show to Netflix. Yeah.
I love it. Netflix will take anything. You kidding me? You scrolled through Netflix recently, they got anything. X, Y,
yeah.
Z. We'll take whatever.
So, Alex, before we talk music,
yes.
I do want people to know how they could reach you for personal training, for connection.
Absolutely.
I know that you are, you know, you're basically what we call a sober entrepreneur, which we love to support. So how can people find you if they're looking for inspiration, training, any of that?
Absolutely, yeah. So you can find me on Instagram. It's just coach_kos, KOS. Coach_kos. I post, you know, nutritional info, workouts, things like that there. To contact me, you can just click into my profile, send a DM. I also have a website link as well. When it comes to like an internet search, just self-made training facility, Del Mar on Google to the trainer page. Like, I'd say that's probably the easiest way to contact me. Because yeah, I'm definitely looking for a couple new clients and, you know, I love working on the sober front too. Like I love working with people in recovery because the physical health connected to the mental health is so huge. Like I know with me losing, you know, 115 pounds. I did that simultaneously while getting sober and that literally kept me sober. So I've lived weight loss. I've helped people lose weight, you know, and I know for a fact that just on the recovery side too, waking up every day, feeling a little better about your physical health makes it that much easier, you know?
We had a, sorry, before we go to music, one more question. We have what was it? Jill from Frugal Friends. That's what it was. She's a finance coach, right? Or something like that. She talked about how, working with clients who are either in recovery or sober curious, there is like, these people are actually like 10 steps ahead of everyone else because they've already done that mental health work to remove alcohol from their lives and replace it with something healthier and happier behaviors and routines. So I'm curious if you see that as something similar in personal training, like maybe people, I would imagine people in recovery might be easier to work with if because we're already aware of that mental health and food and exercise connection.
Absolutely. And what I'll definitely say is that I pretty much traded an addiction to alcohol and drugs to an addiction to health and fitness.
Yeah. Soup, totally common. I mean,
and a lot of guys too do like get into personal training or do triathlons or do whatever. It's a very common thing.
Yeah. Like I've ran a marathon, biked 100 miles, swam 3 miles. Like people are like, why do you do it? I'm like, because I have to. I'm like, I need to. Like, it, like, and also
I literally have to.
On the scientific front, like on the science side, like when you are done with like a very good workout, your brain will release like dopamine and serotonin, which is a reason people smoke weed to get high. So like literally naturally get yourself high. So people are like, why are you working out so hard like every day, every morning? And I'm like, I just like getting high and I just got to earn it. You know what I mean? So I'm just like... And yeah, like when, you know, when it comes to working with people in recovery as well, it's like, I 100% get it. Like it's tough, but the beauty of it is that like recovery and achieving a fitness goal are best friends. So that's like, that's the beauty of it.
That's great.
That makes sense. Thank you for answering that.
Yeah. And since you are on Recovery Rocks, Alex, tell us anything about what music you listen to, what you like, if you had a soundtrack to your recovery, if there's just particular stuff you're listening to now, whatever it is.
You know, I've thought about this a little bit, and I actually write rap music and, you know, hip hop songs. And for me, that's huge for my recovery. Like, my early sobriety, I've probably written about 15 rap songs. I'd say 5 to 7 of them are good. So for me, it's actually writing lyrics, usually
that's
to other people's
really
beats.
Interesting.
I'm not gonna lie, there's some where it's a little bit dark. It's kind of like Biggie Smalls, like, you know, like writing through his problems a little bit. So writing my own lyrics has been really therapeutic to me. To write like really kind of beautiful songs about my life.
It's cathartic. It's like major catharsis to do that.
Yeah. Like it's all real too, you know? And that's been, I usually keep it to just people I like in terms of people, you know, I show it to, but like part of my, you know, step 9 with AA, which is making amends, is I wrote my mom, a rap song essentially. And like sung it to her, and it was definitely like it was a very kind of beautiful but healing moment. You know what I mean? Because I think I do have a way with words, and writing these rap songs, you know, poems to music, right, comes pretty naturally to me. So yeah, I'd say that's huge, and music in terms of like helping you recover. Something big for me, kind of on the younger generation folks end, is Chance the Rapper coloring book album is all about like his experience with recovery. And it's also on the Christian side as well, like very, you know, Jesus and Christian oriented, which was super. I mean, the amount of times I listened to the coloring book album in my recovery, my first 30, 60, 90 was like 100 million. Like I've probably listened to the whole album like twice a day, because that's what kept me sober day over day. And it was just beautiful, like hearing his story. So yeah.
So cool. So cool. Alex, this has been so great. We love having you. This has been a great conversation. We really appreciate it. And like we said, we're going to have all your links. We'll have your link for your Instagram. Anybody can reach out. And I personally will be looking forward to hanging out with you again in the future.
Yes.
Yeah. And thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you both so much for having me. Like, it's been really great sharing my story a little bit and getting to know y'all. So really appreciate the opportunity.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much. It was so lovely to meet you. And when I make it back to San Diego, we'll all three of us can hang out.
Yes.
Let's make it happen.
All right. Thank you so much, Alex.
And thanks, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. And you can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.